The first reading today is from Matthew chapter 1, and it can be found on page 965 in the Pew Bibles. Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 8. The genealogy of Jesus. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon. Amon, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abiad. Abiad, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor. Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Achim. Achim, the father of Eliud. Eliud, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar, the father of Matthah. Matthah, the father of Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name of Jesus. The second reading is Hebrews 1, and can be found on page 1201 in the Pew Bible. Hebrews 1, starting to read at verse 1. "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is a radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we're nearly there. Christmas! Are you ready? You're nearly ready? You're not ready at all. You fed up with it? What about Christmas films? Too many? Too few? What's your favourite Christmas film? What about It's a Wonderful Life? It's got to be up there with the best, hasn't it? Have you seen it? It's got all the usual bits of storyline. A desperate situation. A man called George Bailey facing extremely difficult circumstances. It's Christmas Eve, There's the unlikely characters, a trainee angel sent on a rescue mission. There's a baddie. And of course, there's Snow. It won the Oscar for Best Technical Achievement for its snow. There's a pointless answer if I've ever heard one. And of course, a happy ending. Sorry if that's a spoiler. It's been out since 1946. You've had plenty of time to watch it. It's actually on this afternoon, ITV, should you wish to watch it. Other TV channels are available. It's a great film. Watch and enjoy. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, is a great part of the Christmas story in the Bible. It's got a desperate situation, an unmarried pregnant teenager. It's got unlikely characters, including angels and a carpenter. Who ever heard of a carpenter being a hero? And a baddie, King Herod, but he's in the Luke version, I think. And a happy, well, maybe not such a happy ending. Let's see. Let's have a look at it. Is it a wonderful life for the characters in the reading? Three parts. God speaks, God acts, God reveals himself. God speaks. It's a wonderful life starts with the main character, George Bailey, at his most desperate. He's about to give up on everything when an angel appears to help him. Mary and Joseph are pledged to be married. They live under the Roman occupation, and they were not nice rulers. Mary and Joseph are Jews brought up on the Old Testament. There'd been no word from God for about 400 years. It was hard and desperate times. In Luke's account of the birth of Jesus, Mary had already been told, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High." She's pregnant and confused. She's been told that the baby boy will be conceived by a miracle. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." There's a lot there for Mary to take in. God spoke to Mary through an angel. God speaks to Joseph in a similar way. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. God has spoken to his people again after centuries of silence. All through the Bible, God communicates with his people. From the Garden of Eden through Abraham, Jacob, Moses, and the prophets, God communicates with his people. He is not a silent God who hides away. When people hear the voice of God, they know that it's him speaking. He has conversations. He gives commands and warnings. He speaks directly and indirectly, direct to the person and indirectly through his special messengers, the angels, in different places and situations. He is able to make sure that he is heard and understood. In this passage, God uses his angels to deliver these important messages to Mary and Joseph. Angels are created beings of great power. In appearance, they are impressive, even frightening. Some people were so astonished by their appearance that they were tempted to worship them. Mary doesn't seem to have been too disturbed by the appearance of the angel, but was confused by the message he brought. Whether she understood it or not, Mary accepts the angel's message. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. And you can read all about that in the Luke 1 and 2 chapters of Luke. The situation looks to be desperate for Mary. She is pledged to Joseph. She's young and a virgin, yet she finds herself pregnant. How is she to explain that? She must have been so worried. Her reputation would be in tatters, and she could find herself rejected by the community, or even worse. Joseph finds out that the woman he loves and is betrothed to is now pregnant, and he wants to do the right thing. Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. They both wanted to obey God and do what was right. In their culture, being betrothed was more than just an engagement. Marriage was the expected outcome. Otherwise, it was like having a divorce. Joseph obviously loved Mary. Verse 19, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. He didn't want to cause her any unnecessary distress. He wanted to be kind in his actions towards Mary. God was filling them in on his plan. He gave them enough information so that they would take the next step. Even though the situation looked desperate, God was doing something new, which they were both part of. Mary was to be obedient and give birth to Jesus. Joseph was to marry Mary and support her through the pregnancy and the birth of this special child. Mary and Joseph were ordinary people who followed God's instructions and were obedient to his command, even though that made their lives difficult. The baby was a major disruption to their plans. He would change their lives forever. This child would also change the world forever. God acts. God doesn't just communicate with his people, he acts. He tells Abraham that he will have a son as an heir. And when that looks absolutely impossible, Isaac is born. God tells Moses that he will rescue his people from Egypt. Pharaoh says to Moses 10 times that he will not let his people go. And yet God brings his people out of Egypt. Again and again, God speaks and then acts. The book of Numbers in the Old Testament says this: God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? God speaks and acts. He delivers on his promises. He acts with power through the Holy Spirit. Here we see God, the Trinity, at work. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son. The three-in-one God works all through the Bible. God the Father commands the angels and the prophets. God the Holy Spirit works through creation and in the miracle birth. God the Son appears as a man for the first time. God, three in one, working as one to bring about the next stage of his rescue plan for his people on earth. God, the Trinity, amazing and beyond our understanding. I was once asked to explain the Trinity. I simply replied, if I could explain the Trinity, then I would be able to explain God, and there's no way I could do that. Only God can explain who God is. Maximus the Confessor, you've all heard of him, I know. He was a monk from the 7th century, and he wrote lots of books in Latin. He wrote this: whoever has seen God and has understood what he saw has seen nothing. Whoever has seen God and understood what he saw has seen nothing. And I'm inclined to agree with him. God, our amazing God, works as three in one. We may not be able to understand the Trinity, but we can relate to a baby. God sends a baby so that he can be among his people, growing up with them in a family, learning relationships, just as each one of us has done. This was what the prophet Isaiah had said centuries before the birth of Jesus. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. God with us, Emmanuel. Jesus living among ordinary people so they can come to know God his Father. He doesn't just give them a message from God. He is that message, grace and truth in the flesh. This has never happened before to God's people. God has always spoken to them through prophets or angels. Now he speaks to them directly through his son. God reveals himself. Clarence, the angel in It's a Wonderful Life, puts himself in harm's way in order to save George Bailey. Spoiler alert, George Bailey ends up back with his family, where he belongs. It's a happy ending. Happy endings on film are not the same in real life. Life is tough, and this world is hard and an uncertain place. Christmas lights and all the trimmings do not make for happy endings. People struggle. Is it a happy ending for Joseph and Mary? There was a prophet called Simeon who blessed Jesus as a baby in the temple. This is what he had to say to Mary. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." A sword will pierce your own soul too. That doesn't sound good. Mary followed Jesus during his ministry years. She was there when he was crucified on the cross. That must have felt like a sword piercing her soul. This was prophesied in the reading we had. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua, which means the Lord saves. God acts time and again to save his people. Jesus puts himself in harm's way to rescue God's people. God the Son puts himself in our place on the cross in order to save us, and this is his greatest act of love. An angel saves George Bailey. Angels bring messages to Mary and Joseph. Angels are not the focus of the Christmas story. They are not the heroes. The reading from the book of Hebrews said, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe." The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Jesus, the Son of God, is superior to the angels. He is the Emmanuel, God with us. God speaks, God acts, and ultimately, God reveals himself through Jesus. Jesus came into this world as a baby, brought up by ordinary people to live an extraordinary life. There's a happy ending in It's a Wonderful Life. God offers more than just an angel to help us along. When God wanted to rescue his people, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Through Jesus, he brings his people back to where they belong, into his family. God wants his children to know him, to share with him, to be with him for all time. God has sent us his most important message through his Son. How do we respond to his invitation to join his family? Hark, the herald angel sings. These are the last lines of the last verse. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, born and died to give us second birth. It's the original Christmas story with the ultimate happy ending. Amen.